Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Steve Kerr joins us on the Bud Light guest line. All guests appear on the Bud Light guest line. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. And Steve is brought to us by Xfinity. Supercharge your home or supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet only from Xfinity. And in all of the years, Steve, that we have been talking to you, I don't think we've ever had as much happen over the course of since the last time we've talked to today's conversation. So we really appreciate your time this afternoon. Welcome to your much-deserved, I'm sure, happy-to-see-it NBA All-Star break. You could probably use one right about now.
Yeah, I think everybody needs one. The players, coaches, front office, I think it's good for everybody to get a little break and then get back to work.
I also thought it was good to hear a little bit of, not the finger pointing, but the accountability that Draymond was talking about last night after you got, I mean, you were in a game against the Clippers right up until you weren't. And, you know, to hear him say this isn't a hangover. We're way too deep into that. This is about taking accountability for the things that we know how to do. This is a choice of will. And, you know, hopefully this is a choice that your team will be making in the remaining 24 games here. We're at a sprint to the finish all of a sudden when we come on back.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we've put ourselves in this position, unfortunately, but this is where we are. So, you know, we're right in the thick of everything, but so are a bunch of teams, and we're going to have to fight our way through and try to, you know, get to the playoffs, get healthy, and see what we can do from there.
Given that you have the rarest of rare 9-day breaks, how long do you feel comfortable just getting away from everything basketball? Is that a day? Is that 3 days? Will you get sucked in 4 hours and watch a game when you don't really have to? And how are you trying to parse out this time off for yourself?
Honestly, the biggest thing is just, you know, not getting on a plane and not going through the usual routine. I think that's the biggest thing. It's just, you know, we have such a routine in our world in the NBA. You know, we have a saying, every day is Wednesday, because it really doesn't matter what day it is. It's just, you know, it's another day of practice or game or both. And so I think the All-Star break is really about just getting away from the routine. And everybody's going their separate ways. Some people are going to a beach somewhere. Others are just staying in San Francisco. I'm down in San Diego just relaxing. And it's I'm just looking forward to not having the routine and just being able to, you know, relax and work out and maybe play a little golf and just get away.
Now that Steph Curry is a PGA ambassador, do you guys get on courses easier?
I was not aware. He's a PGA ambassador?
Yeah. Like, Steph Curry has been added to a list that includes, like, former presidents and, you know, Bob Hope and all sorts of entertainers. He is now, like, an official golf ambassador, which means, at the very least, you guys should get, like, free buckets of balls and carts when you show up, right?
I'm pretty sure Steph got that before. So I'm not sure there's been an upgrade.
As someone who's been, you know, spent half his life in the NBA, did the All-Star break mean more to you from the physical rest that you would get as a player or the mental rest that you need as a coach?
That's a good question. When I was a player, All-Star break was like 3 days.
Right.
And so what's happened, here over the last, whenever it was, I think, 7, 8 years ago, the league made it a full week. I think it's just made a dramatic difference. But as a player, it was enormous just to get away and rest your body for a few days. But I think it's really great what the league has done and given, coaches and players a real vacation. I mean, 2 or 3 days is not really enough to. And back then, the guys who were in the game or, in the contest, 3-point or skills competition, they really didn't get any time off. So I think this is really much needed for everybody. And I know everyone's looking forward to it.
How much did this long break off after last night's game make you or allow you to feel comfortable playing Klay Thompson? Or will we be seeing him, pretty much like in your final 24 games, you could use as much Klay Thompson as you can possibly get. Might he play all 24 games?
It's going to be up to the performance staff, but the fact that they felt comfortable with Klay playing last night is a good sign that that he's ready for more. So I would anticipate that he's going to play in more back-to-backs, but obviously everything is fluid, and we just have to see where he is at every given moment.
As a general rule, across the league, and I know you can't speak for every team, but is this about the time of year when load management tapers off for all but the the hopeless few that don't really have any playoff hopes at all?
It's again, this is up to the performance staff, and every year is different. You got guys with different injuries. It's not so easy to say, well, now that it's February, nobody's going to sit out a game. Guys will sit out a game if they're banged up and vulnerable to injury. And so it is what it is.
Steve Kerr here with us on 95.7 The Game. So we've had a lot of days to talk about, to think about James Wiseman. And I'm sure you have answered the question many, many different ways and times, and maybe you've even thought about it a little bit differently, in just the last 24 hours than you did in the initial 24 hours after the deal was made. What I certainly know are all the things that you liked about him. I know more, Steve, about what you liked about James Wiseman than I think what you didn't like about James Wiseman. So I want to start with this. What made his on-court presence so fatal to your winning formula that he couldn't even be put on the floor for 8 minutes, 4 minutes in the second quarter, 4 minutes in the third? What made him such a tough fit?
Well, it basically just came down to his inexperience. That's all. And where we are organizationally, trying to win a championship. And I know you've heard me say that before, but that's the answer. You're talking about a guy who just has very little basketball experience with the 3 games in college, and then the number of injuries he's had over 3 years. I think if I'm not mistaken, he's played maybe 60, 70 games, something like that. It's just not enough when you're talking about competing for a championship, and that's where the issue came. And I know Bob has talked about it. I've talked about it. We love James. We love his talent. Love his character, and still feel that way. And bottom line, he just didn't have enough experience to be in the situation with this team, with this continuity. Because I couldn't afford to give him the runway that he needed to make some mistakes and go out and play.
If ultra raw and young talent became a problem for James Wiseman, it obviously didn't stop you guys from taking a chance on Jonathan Kuminga. What do you wish you could have taken out of Kuminga and put into Wiseman that would have made Wiseman more playable for you so early in his basketball life?
Every player is a different case, and so I wouldn't even answer that question because they're just, you know, you're intimating that you know James was missing something that JK has. That's not the case. It's two entirely different sets of circumstances and two different positions. You know, the center position is much more difficult to play than the wing position, and so there's just a lot of factors in play, and it's not so easy to just say, you know, hey, here's your answer.
If he wasn't the all-court answer to what you hoped you might have drafted, was there no situational fit that could have been coached into him? Like you said, you know, you're a team that's trying to defend a championship, and it's not the easiest system, but still, like, setting a good screen and grabbing a rebound are all part of it too. Could he have just been reduced to a remedial level of execution where you could have gotten more out of that? I'm assuming that you tried. Like, I want to give you and your coaching staff all the benefit of the doubt. We've seen you guys have a staggering amount of success, and it just feels like here is someone with so much raw talent that you claim to have liked working with so much. It's amazing that something couldn't have been crafted out of him.
In 3 years, his first year, he started much of the year, played significant minutes at a good rookie season, played a lot, and then he got hurt. And then I think that's the biggest thing, is that you have to factor in the injury. He missed a year and a half of play and was finally healthy this year. And we were doing exactly what you were just saying, you know, giving him some minutes, you know, trying to find a good role for him. We started the season out that way. He was in the rotation, then he got hurt again. And so, you know, you've watched it all. I know it'd be really nice to just say, well, couldn't you have done this? Couldn't you have done that? Bottom line is you go down the path as a team with all of your players, and you try to figure out the best way to develop everybody, best way to for everyone to succeed, and you generally figure it out as you go. And when you figure something out and you realize this isn't working, you've got to move on, and it's best for the player and it's best for the team, and it's as simple as that. I know you're looking for the magic pill, the answer that you want, but everything is right there before your eyes. You know, everything that you've seen, everything that we've talked about, the transparency, I don't think I can answer it anymore.
Speaking of players you don't have right now, what was your reaction when you found out that Gary Payton II didn't pass his physical, and not only couldn't pass his physical, that he's essentially going to be sort of put on blocks for the next month to two?
Yeah, disappointing, obviously. I mean, we were excited about Gary's addition. We know what he did for us last year, and we needed, you know, immediate help. We needed a boost at the deadline, and that was one of the reasons for the deal. So, you know, finding out that he was going to be out for a while was frustrating, but that's the way it goes. That's what it is. So we got to find a way to keep moving forward and hopefully get him back at the end of the year.
Beyond that, though, when you first heard about it, was your first instinct, nah, that's not funny? Of course he passed. What did you throw against the wall when you found out?
I didn't throw anything against the wall. I mean, this is, you know, like, you go through this stuff, and every year something different happens. Players are injured, you know, players are traded, stuff happens. 1 year we had the worst record in the league. Last year we won the championship. It's just life. It's just, stuff happens. So I don't spend my time throwing stuff against the wall and lamenting things. And you just keep moving forward. You just keep dealing with what is happening right now.
It must be wildly frustrating, though, Steve, to see two team doctors diagnose the same player so differently. I mean, there's a wide chasm between, yeah, we played him last night, the Portland Trail Blazers did, and you guys saying, yeah, we can't play him for a couple of months here. It just seems like it's It's two totally different sets of X-rays that team doctors were working off of. I mean, there must have been a level of flabbergasted that came with such an extensive prognosis of the layoff.
This is why I like being a coach better than being a general manager. You know, as a coach, you deal with what's right in front of you. As a general manager, you've got all kinds of stuff like that to deal with. And I know Bob has talked about it, and Bob is limited in what he can say, and so am I. So, you know, we are where we are.
Is as the weekend went on and the decision was being made to whether to accept the trade or not, were you just sort of sitting in the room letting Bob make the decision? How much input did you feel comfortable having because the machinations were in some ways sort of above your pay grade?
Now, we had a meeting early in the week, maybe Monday, with the coaching staff and the front office to talk about all the different possibilities and how would this guy fit, how would that guy fit. You know, Bob's great about that, just collaborating and getting opinions and making sure, you know, we're aware of what's happening as a staff. And then the next few days, it's just a matter of... you know, Bob's doing all that work. I'm preparing for games. I think we were in Portland for the last 2 days before the deadline. So if he had anything to share with me, he would call me. And if not, then he wouldn't. And, you know, so, and then I think we got back late at night after the Portland game. And the trade deadline was like noon the next day. And that's, so he called me that morning. And that's when everything came to fruition.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, as you're looking for answers over your final 24 games here, pressing towards a seed, might you find some of the answers to the questions in Patrick Baldwin Jr.? Because I mean, you're basically left painting with the palettes that are, you know, on your board right now, and you're not going to have Gary Payton II until quite a bit of time. So you got to deal with what you got to deal with. Is there anything that you can maybe find in him since he hasn't been explored very much? What's his progress? How does he avoid becoming, James Wiseman Part 2, for a lack of a better way to describe it?
I don't even understand why you would phrase the question like that. Patrick Baldwin is a rookie, and he's running his own race, and he's done really well this year. He's playing in Santa Cruz tonight. He's helped us win some games this year. He's learning. He's growing. He's another guy who has very little college experience, so it's all about the development process. And I think what you got to understand is, with every young player, there's development and there's fit, and you just draft guys, you work with them, you go through the season, and generally rookies aren't going to play much, especially these days, given the lack of experience. So, I think Patrick's long-term prospects are really good. He's, got great size and shooting ability. A great kid, so we're really excited about him. But I just think it's so unfair to make any proclamations about him or even James, or it's just but this is the way it is. So you got to ask what you got to ask.
When do you come back to San Francisco and get reimmersed in all of your tasks? I mean, how long do you, I don't want to say feel comfortable, but how long a break do you feel is best for you before you start getting antsy and want to get back involved as much as you're involved on a day-to-day basis?
We will meet on Tuesday in L.A. because our first game back is in L.A. Thursday. And so we're going to practice Tuesday night and then Wednesday. And so that's the plan, is for everybody to convene in L.A., and I'll be doing some work, between now and then, and, just getting ready.
No team in NBA history has ever won an NBA title without being at least six games over 500. The 1978 Washington Bullets were 44-38, and they finished six games over 500, went on to win the title. In your final 24, we did the math on this. Took us a calculator, too, because no one here is too bright. 15-9 to match the Bullets' record. As you guys are trying to defend an NBA title, I asked you a couple of weeks ago, the last time we talked to you, if you thought that you still could defend your NBA title. It was an emphatic yes. At 29-29, with the, you know, no early dividends, unfortunately, to be found in the trade deadline because of the Gary Payton second injury. Do you still feel like this team is going to be capable of putting together an honest defense of this title as a playoff team?
I do feel strongly about that, and I really don't care about the Washington Bullets of 1978. I'm pretty sure that doesn't apply right now. So the only thing that we're worried about is getting ready for these last 24 games and trying to get guys healthy. And if we can put ourselves in a position where we are healthy, with Steph and Gary coming back, I like what I'm seeing. I like what the way Clay's playing. I like the way Wiggs has played, the last few games. Dante's had an amazing second half of the season. So we got guys playing well. We just got to put it all together, and I really believe that we can do that.
Do you think you can pick up your tech streak in the first game back from good to go? Two in a row now for you? Frustration building up?
I did not deserve the one last night. I was shocked. I did not. I wasn't demonstrative. I didn't use any bad words. I was. That one was shocking. I deserved the one the night before.
Well, and you were reacting to Plumlee trying to cut guys' heads off, right?
I thought Moses Moody got fouled on a drive to the hoop, and so I just complained to the official, but I didn't do it in a way that should have been offending. I didn't do it demonstrably. I didn't use any profanity. So I was really shocked. I thought the game overall last night was very well officiated. I thought they did a good job. I just I'm going to protect my guys and get on the refs now and then. But I think I didn't think what I did deserved.
Can the league rescind coaching technicals?
They can. I don't know if they will, but I'd definitely like to have that one rescinded. If I'm going to do it, I might as well earn it.
Yeah, I was about to ask, do you regret when you get a technical like that you didn't get your money's worth?
Yes, absolutely. Like, if you're going to get it, then you got to earn it.
Steve, thanks very much. We appreciate your time. As always, have a wonderful break. You guys deserve it, obviously. And we look forward to the finish. We look forward to the sprint. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. See you guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.